Hybrid thieves, hybrid thieves, party all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be to crash the bubble today. Hybrid thieves, party all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be to crash the bubble today. A day or two ago, things weren't so right. Then it was game time and putting up a fight. Joe Lunardi said no, their resume isn't right. What turned out to be instead was a really fun delight. Oh, hybrid thieves, party all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be to crash the bubble today. Hybrid thieves, party all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be to crash the bubble today. Welcome everyone to Selection Sunday, special edition for 2024, and happy St. Patrick's Day for those who celebrate. Who will be the luck of the Irish today? And no, Notre Dame is not in this party, unfortunately, and these schools may end up getting virtual coal by the end of this coming hour. Virginia, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, St. John's of New York, Florida Atlantic, the Cinderella run of last year's Final Four, Michigan State, will the streak end today? Colorado, Texas A&M, and a bunch of other teams. We're about to find out as we get ready for the first time that we will have Greg Gumbel not in the chair to announce the pairings and the seedings. So it's going to be wild, and I hope you all enjoy this journey with me. Again, my name is Matt Zivich of Big Z College Hoop Central. Been going on at this for several years, and this is truly Christmas Day for college basketball fans. Dan Gavitt and friends at the NCAA in Carmel, Indiana, and the 12-member selection committee have been working so hard these last four-plus days to put together a great bracket. Thanks to the two-bid thieves last night of the Oregon Ducks and the North Carolina State Wolfpack, here we go. And who knows, maybe someday we might have an expanded bracket. I posted some thoughts just before this podcast began at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com. That's F-O-R-T-Y for those of you who don't know what it means. So we'll have all that raring to go. As we now await the beginning of the party here, as we look forward to this fun from the CBS Television Network, hello everybody around the world. Good evening to those in the East. Good afternoon to those in the West in Alaska and Hawaii as well. As we get ready here for the 2024 seedings and pairings for the greatest tournament in the world. Again, sorry all World Cup soccer fans, but this is way more fun. It is unique. It isn't unlike anything in American sport. One and done, baby. Winner go home. Then, of course, the winners at the end, they'll get to cut down the nets, and then we'll get to all sing that sappy, corny song from 1987 called One Shining Moment. So now we get ready here for this 22-day journey. Yes, a little bit more than the Olympics every 4 years, and then we will look forward to seeing how it all goes this evening. Now we await for the fun to begin from New York and the rest of the country as they all nervously await for the fun to begin. And here we go.
Friend and colleague Greg Gumbel, who will sit out this year's tournament for family health matters. Greg, Craig, of course, has been a fixture of our March Madness coverage for the past quarter century, and we look forward to having him back right here next year.
Yeah, I tell you, it's somewhat surreal that he's not to my right. He's been there for a couple of decades, but praying and hoping, Greg, that you will indeed be back in 2025.
Every time we met with our team, I just couldn't wait for Greg's face to come up there. I knew he was officially March Madness, and everyone in the room did. So, Greg, we're thinking of you, buddy. We love you.
He's been my studio partner for 20 years. He's one of my best friends in the world. He's watching, and he's thinking, stop talking about it.
And now, for the first time since 1999 when Michelle Tafoya did the brackets, here is Adam Zucker as we begin in the East. And as surprise, of course, for you following yesterday, the overall number one seed will be the UConn Huskies. And here is their first opponent for Brooklyn, New York on Friday. That should be an interesting matchup.
Surprise.
After an amazing performance against Houston in the
the league champs. So as we zoom out and transition back up to the top of this bracket, Seth, what stands out to you?
Well, UConn, FAU, San Diego State. What do those guys have in common? They were all in the Final Four.
That's right,
in
San Diego State.
Last year, yeah.
That's exactly right. So, you know, they're a very strong team, but I think it sets up very well for UConn. And looking at a potential UConn-Auburn Sweet 16 game in Boston, no need to have a shot clock in that one. That's going to be I think this sets up great for the Huskies.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I actually love this Florida Atlantic team to possibly make another run, but against a team like UConn, if in fact they get by Northwestern, be a tall task. And we want to go to the bottom of this bracket now. I tell you what, Illinois has been so impressive. But keep an eye, folks, on Morehead State. They've got one of the best players in the country in Riley Minix. He's a terrific 21-10 guy, and that team is really balanced. Love what Washington State has done, and obviously Iowa State there on the two line against a pretty good South Dakota State team.
Listen to my man when he talks about Morehead State. He calls these teams like execution, smart, intelligent basketball. This Washington State Drake game, two outstanding coaches, disciplined teams. They're going to run really good offensive stuff. Young coaches, get your note cards out for that game. That's going to be a great
one. All right, one region done. A quarter of the 68-team field is set, which leaves dozens of teams across the country, including James Madison, Grambling State, New Mexico, South Carolina, and Nevada anxiously awaiting their fate. We will reveal the South region when the Men's Basketball Championship Selection Show continues.
The NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Selection Show is sponsored by AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Capital One, what's in your wallet? And by Coke Zero Sugar. Is it the best Coke ever?
AT&T just sent me a heads up on the best plan for me. They know what a pro wants.
What a pro needs.
Whatever makes me happy.
Sets you free.
And I'm begging you for knowing exactly what a pro wants. What a pro needs. Whatever makes me
happy. Wow. Trying to catch my breath briefly here. Just wish I could pause these podcasts because I got to save my voice a little bit. So I apologize if I have to pause a little because, gotta keep a good pace because every podcast you hear, you know, it feels like a radio station. You know, I try to convince my mom of that, but she still doesn't believe me. But I'm trying to convince her to build a podcast library and she's been kind of slow at it, but I'll convince her. Don't you worry, ladies and gentlemen. I will convince her at some point. So again, to recap, UConn, as expected, the new overall number one seed, and they got the privilege and the honor of staying in the East. They will play Stetson, a first-time participant in the Big Dance. I predict that one will be probably settled early, and they should win by at least 45 points. Iowa State is the two, and as you heard Seth Davis say, the teams that they cannot be in the same region in the case of the different power ends of the seed lines. And then you just go down to the rest of the list, and there you see the Big Ten champion, postseason champs, Illinois at 3, Auburn is 4, which I felt was just right. The most intriguing matchup, Florida Atlantic and Northwestern. Personally, I thought Florida Atlantic was a little bit on the higher side. Northwestern, I think, should have been at least an 8. But as you would traditionally say, these 8-9 games, these are supposed to be like the sexy matchups. Pick 'em game, basically. The other factoid here, 3 of last year's Final Four, with Miami not making the field, are all in this region. San Diego State, the Aztecs at 5, and then UAB, just won an hour ago, winning the American Athletic title over Temple. Auburn will get the Ivy League champion Yale, won on that buzzer beat earlier today to defeat Brown. Such a shame for that Rhode Island school. And then finally, Washington State and Drake, trying to carry that Pac-12 flag for the last time. And then it's Iowa State and South Dakota State. And now back to Adam Zucker with the second region. And that we now go toward the upper right quadrant. It's the South region, led by the Houston Cougars. boy, that means Purdue has slipped big time, even though Houston got, you know, steel door shut down against Iowa State and their lowest point total in a long time. Now the rest of the brackets and back to Adam Zucker in New York. That was one of the bubble teams. The Aggies barely made it in, I think. Duke will at least win by 25, trying to be modest here with Coach K in retirement.
Offensively, they got a nice
nice inside-outside combination. One of the highest scoring teams in the country. So this is a very, and Wisconsin is playing excellent basketball. I'm really looking forward to that matchup particularly.
Texas A&M in an 8-9 game with Nebraska. Nebraska needs that first win, and they got stuck with Texas A&M, who is sizzling hot since they put Manny Opasiki in the starting lineup. If we move down now to the rest of the bracket there, I'll tell you one thing. Kentucky is really interesting to me. John Calipari is one of the coaches that has always been known as a defensive coach. He's kind of changed and gone offense. There's a couple teams in the tournament like that, Alabama. How far can it take them? I think it could take them to at least Sweet 16 against Marquette, then see what they got defensively at that point.
I just want to go on record. I've got James Madison in the Sweet 16. Again, I'm surprised to see Boise State is a 10. The big question on this side of the bracket is the health of Tyler Cohen.
Yes, no doubt.
But either way, the way that Kentucky plays and gets up and down the floor. I know Florida's got an injury issue, too.
Yeah.
But Kolek, to me, is a big-time X factor in this tournament and certainly in this side of the bracket.
A lot of high-powered offenses will have to potentially get through a very good defense in the Houston Cougars as well. So the wait is now over for half the field. Two regions down, two to go. Will it be joy or heartbreak for the team still nervously anticipating their fate in this year's NCAA tournament field? And as we head to break, another look. Some of the joyous reactions reveal the Midwest region when the NCAA March Madness Selection Show continues on CBS.
Get your TikTok clips ready, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, that first game for Dayton, Ohio on Tuesday or Wednesday. Boise State slipped that quickly? I find that a little hard to believe. But I'm hoping for a dream matchup. I would love to see Rick Pitino and his son Richard Pitino face each other. St. John's in New Mexico. Because we always love those kind of storylines. And I think it would be a really awesome matchup to see. And of course, we all confirmed that with Iowa State as the number two in the East, UNC will be the number one seed out west, as we predicted a few weeks ago. But as Justin Williams, staff writer at Cincinnati, mentioned in The Athletic, definitely worth paying for a subscription because I've been using a lot of their things this year. He said, quote, much, much closer to the bubble than most people anticipated. And, of course, we already said of Houston back up to the number two overall seed, even though, as they said, they got torched by Iowa State yesterday. They're still healthy for the most part. So, again, those matchups, Houston-Longwood, then Nebraska-Texas A&M. That's going to be a pick 'em game, but Nebraska looking for their first tournament win. And A&M, of course, they've had an up-and-down year. So I bet Greg Sankey is pretty happy, the commissioner of the SEC, and all his interesting comments the last couple of days. Wisconsin at a 5. James Madison, saw him at the beginning of the year. They stunned Michigan State in East Lansing. Very legit teams at both ends of the floor. One of few programs that have 30 wins. This could be a possible upset, like Seth Davis and Clark Kellogg were saying a few minutes ago. Poor Vermont, they'll have to play Duke, but they'll have to really shoot lights out in order to advance. Texas Tech, and now the supremely exhausted Wolfpack of North Carolina State. Kentucky against not the former NFL team, it is the Oakland Golden Grizzlies in Rochester, Michigan. So there you go with that. They won the Horizon League tournament last week. The Boise State Colorado winner will get the Florida Gators. We kind of figured they were in the field. Then you got Marquette and Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. And now we continue on with the rest of the final two regions. And again, Adam Zucker in New York as we look forward to the real fun. Hope you've been enjoying it this far here on Big Z College Hoop Central. And you can see that here. You can all enjoy those special things as we all enjoy this tournament so much. Here's again is Adam Zucker. Returning to where they were when they beat Northwestern in that weird second round game in 2017, they're going to get McNeese. Will Wade back in the tournament after his controversial firing at LSU. Remember from the wiretap scandal when that HBO special a couple years ago. You can read it again on my blog if you have the time. But congratulations to that great school down south. Now we go to the 4-13. Again, these games Thursday and Saturday in Salt Lake City.
With fresh feathers, as we move back to the top of this Oh, man.
One thing I have to say about Gonzaga, everybody was saying all year, what's wrong with Gonzaga? They're not going to make the tournament. They're a five seed. This is the 24th consecutive tournament they've been in. Only Michigan State and Kansas have made more consecutive tournament runs. That's incredible.
It really is. That's a remarkable feat by those programs.
And I got to tell you, that matchup, now what do they get rewarded? They get McNeese, your team at Will Wade, who is a brutal first round.
Yeah, I like McNeese in that game because of their speed and show. Jahdae Wells is a real problem at that backcourt spot.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where I light myself on fire.
McNeese over Gonzaga, and you ready? Samford takes down Kansas. You mentioned the injuries to Kansas. They were already not a deep team. Samford is an up-and-down team. They play 10 guys, and the game is in Salt Lake City, where altitude is a factor. We've got a potential matchup between Texas and Tennessee, where Rick Barnes, the Tennessee coach, used to coach. I think the dangerous team in this bracket is Creighton. They play at a slower tempo. I think they can get by Tennessee in the Sweet 16.
Tell you what, Oregon is interesting because they finally got healthy, and Fale Dante is a difference maker. Big guy who can protect the rim and is a great passer. They've got good shooting around. They could be. Dana Altman always seems to have his teams moving in the right direction this time of year.
And Dante didn't miss a shot.
That's right. He went pretty perfect. Yeah.
Last night. All right. The Capital One NCAA March Madness Bracket Challenge, the official bracket game of NCAA March Madness for both the men and women, is almost ready for your picks. Get your bracket started at play.com.ncaa.com. All right. With only one quadrant remaining, several teams remain on edge. Among those still waiting, St. Mary's, Clemson, New Mexico, and Nevada will reveal the final region when the selection show continues live on CBS.
Wow. Okay, another storyline for you. Greg Campy, the oldest tenured coach at 40 years. He's going to coach the 1,235th game of his career against John Calipari. But, of course, for the Golden Grizzlies, I think they're pretty much in trouble. This is definitely going to be a big challenge for Houston overall if you go big picture, 30,000-foot view. Nebraska always puts up a lot of points. Wisconsin, as you saw the last couple of games. Duke, but not as much firepower outside of Kyle Filipowski and Jeremy Roach, the last big holdover from the Coach K era. Kentucky, they can turn it on or turn it off. But they're more, their offensive firepower is legit. But again, they can flame in, they could have a really, they can really fire it up, or they can flame out like they did earlier in the year before Big Z came in. That great player that I highlighted in my blog. You can look back at that great billboard that a bunch of Kentucky fans managed to put together, and yours truly got a big laugh out of it. See, there's more than one Big Z in the world. So kudos to them. Of course, the Marquette Golden Eagles also. Don't sleep on them as well. Here's another fact for you. Kentucky and Duke have the top 10 numbers in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Wisconsin right behind at 13. The Gators of Florida at 14. So there you go with that. One more brief thought about the East, according to Kyle Tucker, the left-footed Sapphire of Kentucky. The defending champions, of course, a group with the champions of the Big 12, Big 10, and SEC tournaments. But it's going to be awesome to see, but unfortunately only one of the four could be heading down to Phoenix. So we'll all find out here, and then we'll find out those things for that reason. But Purdue, staying at home, just a one-hour drive from I-65 in Indianapolis, as they'll try again to hopefully get it right. There is no do-over, so I'll find out on that. But right now, for the final region, we'll get ready to go back to New York and Adam Zucker. Here we go.
Right now, as they wait to see if their school
Also on Thursday, Mississippi State with Chris Jans coaching these guys. They are in at 21-13, facing the 9 seed Michigan State and Tom Izzo.
Yeah, they kind of played their way onto the bubble, especially with all these mid thieves coming in late. So a little bit high for a bubble team at number 9, but I think they're properly seated. The committee got that one right.
All right, in this region, we are cut up between 4 locations in a couple of days. So on Friday in Spokane, we get the 5 seed St. Mary's West Coast Conference champs.
Hey, it was so long ago they won the conference championship. Don't forget about them. They're playing hot. Just came off 2 wins against Gonzaga this year, won the tournament. This is a great team. Backward, Marcellonis, they are a very dangerous team this tournament.
There's going to be a lot of Gonzaga fans in the area, by the way. And they are going to face Grand Canyon.
The Lopes, the Antelopes, I tell you what, this team is top 20 in field goal defense. They can bang inside with St. Mary's, and they also average 80 points a game. And they've got a player in Tyon Grant Foster, an NBA wing player potentially that is dynamic. This is going to be a heck of a matchup to lock into, folks.
That was 29 wins, a school record. The 4 seed going to Spokane. It's a cross-country flight for Alabama, who led the nation in scoring average with over 90 points a game. Their opponent, 13 seed, maybe they could share a flight, Charleston, on a 12-game winning streak, including the CAA championship. Don't let them get to 80. They're 20-0 when they do so. You go to the bottom half of the West Region games in Memphis, Tennessee, where the 6 seed on Friday is Clemson. A season highlighted by a win at North Carolina, their first on the road against the top 3 team in nearly 50 years. And now they get to see who they're going to face. And that is the 11 seed Richard Pitino's New Mexico Lobos, who left no doubt yesterday on CBS.
Well, St. John's fans ought to be worried right now. But the Lobos, of course, winning the Mountain West title over San Diego State. That confirmed and how they got the automatic bid, and that gets rid of all doubts. Now the rest of the final teams as Baylor, Scott Drew. 6 players averaging double figures, as Adam Zucker just said. Now they're going to get to play the 14 seed of Colgate back again from the Patriot League. And that game, those games are Friday, Sunday in Memphis, Tennessee. Now back for the final groupings with Adam Zucker again in New York.
Not feeling the Mountain West. They got all the teams in, but they didn't get great seats.
I'm with you. though, I think Arizona's got a great path here to, I think, to get to the Final Four, get matched up against Carolina. They look pretty good right here, the way this matches up. Also, New Mexico is a really hot team right now. They are rebounding. They get the three guards, House, Dent, Mashburn, but they are rebounding extremely well. They're scary.
Very scary. All right, guys, the breakdown of the conferences that earned multiple bids looks like this, and you just mentioned the Mountain West, the Big 12, and the SEC leading the way with 8 teams. The Mountain West places 6 squads in the field, topping their most ever.
How about that 3 next to the Big East? I mean, that's a huge story today. St. John's, Seton Hall. Yep. St. John's isn't even among the first 4 out.
And yeah, looking now at the last 4 in and first 4 out as we turn our attention there, and the teams that barely made the tournament and the teams that were close but did not make the field. Is there a team that you feel should have been in that was left out? And if so, what would you take out?
Well, definitely no one's pounding the table on this. If you played your way out of the bubble, I'm shocked that Colorado State is the last team in. I had Seton Hall in, Virginia out. You can absolutely make a case for Virginia. Unlike Seton Hall, they didn't have any bad losses. But again, St. John's, I had St. John's as my first team out, and they weren't even on that list. And Indiana State showed up well, aside from those.
Yeah, but I go back to your point, Seth. When you get to this point and you're trying to differentiate, it becomes splitting hairs, and somebody's going to be left out. And the way the stoop got compressed here with 4 teams that were not going to be at-large candidates winning conference tournaments, that really created more teams than we've had in a while that were being considered and may have been in the field had it not been for the circumstances of the weekend.
But we have an A-10, ACC,
Pac-12.
Those
were the 4.
4 conferences. Right. That knocked out probably 4 of these teams.
Yeah. And by the way, Indiana State was 29th in the net. That's the highest ranked net team to be left out.
All right, good point, guys. Yeah. All right, game on. Fill out both the men's and women's brackets for a chance to win a new 2024 Eastern.
Yep, you heard the history. So, there you go. But you know, you got to figure Indiana State's going to probably be heading to the NIT. St. John's, that was the other shock. So there you go. And that's how it turns out to be here for your 2024 release of the brackets here as we begin the greatest tournament in the world. Full schedules, again, will be released later tonight. So look forward to that in my blog, again, at 40minutesofhoopsfun.wordpress.com. And again, bring your comments on. I look forward to reading your comments. And continue to remember to follow me on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't done so already, tell your friends. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It will really, really mean a lot to me. And as far as my podcasting goes, as you'll continue to read some more blogs, and one of them is going to be with Carolina heading to the West, I'm going to do a deep dive going back to 1979. How did the one seeds fare through the years? You'll be very fascinated on what the data came out to be, going all the way back to the DePaul Blue Demons and Ray Meyer. Those were the days, my friends. And for those of you who weren't born yet, look them up on YouTube. They were a fun group to watch. And that was what scratched my first itch at the 1979 Final Four. Still think about it every so often. And of course, I'll also have a special article that I was hoping to do the last few days, but other things in life get in the way. The major focus of gambling. That's right. More money is going to be wagered on this tournament, especially in the first 2 rounds, than the Super Bowl. Chew on that for a minute. March Madness will have more money waged on than the Super Bowl we just had in Las Vegas. I find that very hard to believe. But there you go. So hopefully everybody can sit back and enjoy. And don't forget all your favorite pizzas and favorite drinks and favorite foods. And just note, you know, how you can access the games. And remember, there's always the March Madness Live site, of course, on the computers and your desktops. It's ncaa.com/March-Madness-Live. And that's where you'll find all your games, similar to what YouTube TV does with the NFL. You get to see 4 games at once. Westwood One, of course, has the radio, the Varsity Network app. You can enjoy different games. And then for TuneIn people, TuneIn Premium, a feature that I used to have when it was free, You get five different ways, five different colored buttons, one for each of the four regions, and the way we used to follow the coverage way back in the 80s into the 90s. Going around in whip-around fashion, telling you where the games are hot. Will there be a buzzer beater or a potential upset in the future Cinderella we'll be talking about for years to come? So that's all I know right now, and hopefully you get your pencils and brackets ready. And I will now look forward to having lots of fun to come. And we'll just have to see how it all shakes out, beginning Tuesday night and Wednesday night in Dayton. And then Thursday, when the real fun begins at 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS. Take care, everyone, and look forward to the schedules later on as we look forward to the real madness that is the greatest tournament in the world. Thank you again for listening to this special edition of Selection Sunday for the 2024 edition of the March Madness Bracket Preview Show. Take care, and I'll hope to talk to you again. Depending on if there are any upsets, I plan to blog at least twice a day, both Thursday and Friday. And there'll be just a nice brief recap of both first four games on Tuesday and Wednesday. So long for now. We'll talk to you again later in the week. Look for some good blogs the next few days. Bye for now, and have yourself a great rest of your Sunday night.